In a world where justice often fails the vulnerable, what lengths would you go to protect those who cannot protect themselves? This question forms the beating heart of Scythe and Sparrow, where we meet Rose, known as the Sparrow, a circus performer with a secret mission. Behind her tarot readings and motorcycle stunts lies a woman dedicated to helping abused women escape their tormentors. But when a confrontation with Matt Cranwell, an abusive husband, goes horribly wrong, Rose's life takes a dramatic turn. The encounter leaves Rose severely injured and stranded when her circus moves on without her. What makes her vigilantism so compelling isn't bloodlust, but genuine compassion. She sees herself as providing justice where the system has failed. Like Julia Tofana, the 17th century woman who made poison for abused wives, Rose's mission is about protection, not revenge. But once you start down this path, where do you draw the line? And what happens when someone sees your darkness and, instead of turning away, embraces it? Electricity fills the air when Dr. Fionn Kane meets Rose in her ambulance. She teases him about looking like Dr. McSpicy, while Fionn remains professionally detached yet unusually invested. Their connection deepens when he discovers Matt Cranwell's blood-stained license in her jacket. Their relationship evolves through mutual disclosure. When Fionn offers his guest room after her discharge, they share personal histories over whiskey. Rose reveals joining a circus at 15 because she had nowhere else to go, while Fionn admits leaving Ireland at 13 to escape his father's alcoholic rages. Their bond strengthens when Rose confesses to stabbing Matt in the eye. Instead of reporting her, Fionn's protective instincts emerge. During an intimate moment, she tells him, "Maybe you've got a little vicious streak hidden away in you, Dr. Kane, but you've got a kind streak too, and I like them both, equally." This acceptance of his full self, both light and dark, transforms Fionn, showing how the deepest healing comes from someone who accepts our broken pieces as essential parts of who we are. Rose's vigilantism escalates when she attacks Eric after overhearing him verbally abusing Nurse Naomi. Hiding in his truck, she assaults him with a Damascus steel knife. Blood sprays everywhere as she vomits from the violence. When Fionn arrives, he's initially horrified, but becomes surprisingly composed after she explains that Eric threatened women and she finished it. Rather than recoiling, Fionn helps dispose of the body after reading Eric's abusive texts. This marks a turning point. Fionn isn't just protecting Rose, he's becoming an accomplice in her vigilante justice. Later, Rose notices a transformed Naomi, confident and relieved rather than fearful. Has Rose's violent intervention actually improved Naomi's life? This moral ambiguity raises uncomfortable questions. Is violence justified to protect the vulnerable? Can we condemn Rose's methods while acknowledging systemic failures? When institutions fail victims, what options remain? Rose's vigilantism isn't presented as heroic or villainous. It's complicated, messy, and human. Fionn's journey from suppressing his darkness to embracing it forms a compelling arc. Initially, he struggles with violent impulses, driving to Matt Cranwell's farm during a thunderstorm, contemplating an attack before fleeing when Matt's young son appears. His transformation accelerates at a fight club where, after Rose gets injured, he loses control and savagely beats her attacker unconscious. This moment cracks Fionn's carefully constructed facade as protective instincts override professional restraint. The climax occurs when Matt attacks Rose in a haunted house. Without hesitation, Fionn stabs Matt repeatedly, then hoists him onto a meat hook display, declaring, "You don't deserve mercy." This violence, committed to protect Rose, represents Fionn fully embracing his capacity for darkness. Later, Fionn reflects, "I don't care about the illusion of light anymore. My rose blooms in the dark, and all I want is to grow there with her." This metaphor captures his acceptance that darkness and light coexist within us. Are we defined by our darkest impulses or our resistance to them? As Rose and Fionn's attraction intensifies, they establish a friends with benefits arrangement with strict boundaries. No kissing on the mouth, no overnight stays, no public affection, and no pet names except Doc, all attempts to contain their emotions within physical parameters. Their first encounter begins when Fionn blows cool air beneath Rose's itching cast, leading to more intimate contact. When Fionn warns he can't offer a relationship, Rose claims she never wanted one, though his words clearly hurt. Their relationship steadily erodes these boundaries. During a flight, Fionn pleasures Rose discreetly. Later, sharing a hotel bed, they sleep with Fionn holding Rose close, creating an unexpected feeling of home. Their most intimate moment occurs in a circus concession stand where they abandon their restrictions. Rose realizes she's willing to break every rule for Fionn. This progression reveals how arbitrary boundaries become when genuine connection develops, their physical intimacy becoming a metaphor for their emotional journey from limitations to deeper feelings. As Rose and Fionn's relationship deepens, Leander Mays appears after Matt Cranwell's death with damning evidence, Fionn's secret about stabbing his abusive father, and Rose's footprints in Matt's blood. Leander forces Fionn to join his medical team in Croatia for 7 months, forbidding him from telling anyone, including Rose, or they'll both face murder charges. Fionn returns to Rose, distant and cold, unable to explain his departure. "Help is what got us here in the first place," he says, drinking bourbon methodically. Rose maintains composure until she's alone, announcing her return to Silveria Selkis before breaking down in private. This sacrifice explores a central question about love. Is it more loving to stay and risk someone's safety, or leave to protect them? Fionn chooses protection, bearing Rose's pain to shield her from danger. The scene's impact deepens when we later discover Fionn left Rose a letter explaining that breaking her heart was his worst act, but the only right choice. After months apart, Fionn sends Rose letters with Croatian postage, each containing a tarot card and expressions of regret explaining he left to keep her safe. Every letter ends with, "I love you, I'm not letting you go, I never will." When they reunite at Lookout Rock, their connection is tentative yet raw. Fionn presents the final tarot card, the Lovers, and explains his departure. Rose admits liking his letters but feeling deeply hurt. They negotiate new relationship terms, and when they kiss, everything realigns. At the inn, Rose shares letters she wrote during his absence as they plan their Boston future. The epilogue shows Fionn proposing to Rose, surrounded by their chosen family, a joyful moment earned through struggle. Their story challenges conventional notions of good and evil, suggesting we all contain multitudes. Their relationship thrives because they fully see and accept each other. In a world demanding only our best selves, their love offers an alternative. We are most lovable when integrating our darkness, not hiding it.